The Old Testament reading is from Micah chapter 5. But to you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until that time when she who is in labor is given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 10. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said, "Above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, in burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke in the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to his to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary returned with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. Okay. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it's fair to say that we live in a culture whose first value is happiness. Of the three enumerated inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, life and liberty better not get in the way of my pursuit of happiness. And our primary way, especially as we approach Christmas, of pursuing happiness is acquiring more stuff. Our entire national economy is built on a year-end rampage in search of or pursuit of the perfect present. Oh, I suppose if you catch me in the right mood, I could give that sermon. But for as much as I enjoy torturing my kids with humbugs, old Fezziwig is closer to my heart. But I do want to borrow something from that consumerism happiness rant. Old Fezziwig's happiness was not his goal. He didn't stop the work and clear the floors and have the dance and office party to achieve happiness or to make anyone specifically happy. It was simply a sharing of himself. Just as Scrooge's miser ways were a sharing of himself. If you pay close enough attention to Dickens's Scrooge, you might realize that he was portrayed as happy as he was. Marley and the ghosts were unwelcome guests. He let his betrothed go free because that was his happiness. Both old Fezziwig and Scrooge could be happy in their own way. But only Scrooge based his entire life on acquiring his desires, on finding his happiness. Happiness is a fickle idol. It doesn't really matter how or how hard you pursue it. It only stays around a short time. The gospel is not happiness. The good news is joy. And the only condition on joy is the presence of God. When God is present and we know it, it doesn't matter the material conditions or our petty desires. When God is present, we have the only thing that we truly need. It's Mary's day, so let's consider her for a moment. Luke's story in these early chapters is really Mary's story. And what Luke tells us is that Mary was betrothed to Joseph, a descendant of David. We can probably imagine the desires of Mary. Yes, it might have been an arranged marriage, but human nature hasn't changed that much. She hoped for a good match, maybe in time, kids. In short, Mary would have had hopes and plans for happiness. And that betrothal time would have been the time of anticipation, when those dreams of happiness would have been at their strongest. But then an angel shows up. "Greetings, O highly favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at the saying. No kidding. Think about the juxtaposition. Mary's desires for happiness, and the Lord is with you. The presence of God, the unique presence of God, the Theotokos, the Mother of God. And if you read and ponder Gabriel's Annunciation, this isn't something forced on Mary. She ponders what kind of greeting this is. She asks, "How can this be?" She's even given a sign, Elizabeth. Her relative, long thought barren, is 6 months pregnant. And Gabriel preaches to her, "Nothing is impossible with God." Sounds like some convincing to me. Even if the yes was never really in doubt, Mary's human. And in that crashing and ending of her thoughts and dreams of happiness, in that revealing of God's plan and Mary's place in it, regardless of the troubles it'll bring, Simeon's prophecy of a sword will pierce her soul, not to mention that coming conversation with Joseph. Regardless of the hills and valleys, the presence of God and his plan bring joy. I'm the servant of the Lord. Let's do this. Let it be. That acceptance doesn't bar Mary from an immediate trip, a checking out of that sign. And the story, as I read it, is slightly scandalous. A young, unmarried, betrothed woman traveling all by herself. That's not going to make explaining things to Joseph any easier. And I hope it isn't impious, but I get an interesting mixture of checking out the sign, avoiding telling Joseph, and a bit of, if this is God's show, he can take care of everything. Like Mary's playing with house money, where she's learning to live with the joy. And that's exactly what Mary finds when she gets to Elizabeth. Joy. When the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaimed with a loud cry, the presence of God. When we know he's there, when we find our place in his plan, joy. Leaping babies and loud cries. That joy can't hold itself back. It always expresses itself in praise. And that's Mary's song. Mary's psalm isn't just another silly love song. It isn't a song of desire for happiness or the realization of despair. Imagine all the people. It isn't even really a song of hope. It's an outburst of joy. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And why this joy? Because God has made himself present and real. His mercy is for all those who fear him from generation to generation. It's not just then or there, but it's here and now. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. God keeps his covenants, his promises. When God says he'll do something, he does it. To Abraham and to his seed forever. That seed, that offspring, singular, that Paul would pick up on, that seed that Mary is carrying is Abraham's and Israel's and ours forever. The child of Mary's is Emmanuel, God with us. And when God is with us, he brings his joy. Mary is in many ways the first disciple. She heard the word, and she responded to it personally, and then she proclaims it out in joy. Later, Jesus would say, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. In Luke's gospel, Mary is the first. But there's also an invitation to us in Elizabeth's words. Elizabeth has already blessed Mary herself, but she adds, blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoke to her from the Lord. You have heard proclaimed the promises of God. He's here. He's with you. Indwelling in that Spirit from your baptism. He's here under bread and wine. He's here in this gathering of the body of Christ. And those promises are that he will not leave us nor forsake us. He will raise us up on that last day. That's not a basis for happiness as the world defines it here and now. But it's the basis for an eternal joy from generation to generation. God is present. Blessed is she who believes in the fulfillment of what she has heard spoken from the Lord, that she is the church. All those who believe, like Mary, all those who believe, like Mary, that there will be a fulfillment. Like Fezziwig sharing his joy out of himself because he can't help himself, so we also have a joy to share. If your Christmas is about finding happiness, I don't have good news for you. But if your Christmas is a recognition, an opportunity to share your joy, blessed are you. There isn't a better reason. In fact, there isn't another reason, because the only reason for joy is the presence of God. And he's here. He's promised from generation to generation, to the offspring of Abraham forever. And that's you. With the Blessed Virgin Mary, we rejoice and sing. Amen.